All right, we got Dr. Bobby Grassi, the dentist CEO. I would take 10 minutes just going off the list of how many businesses he's founded at this point, but thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you for having me, man. I'm so excited, man, just to helping young entrepreneurs and people grow, so I'm excited.
Let's do it, man. So tell us a little bit more about yourself. You know, I've seen this massive list of portfolios and things that you've built. You've been a dentist. Now you're stepping into the entrepreneurial world. Help us understand kind of what your story looks like to where you got today.
Man, it's a, we don't have a long time, but quick version. Born and raised in Flint, Michigan by a single mom. My dad was actually addicted to drugs, so it's kind of crazy where I came from. Raised by my grandma and my grandpa with my mom. My last name was actually Loomis growing up, changed to Grassi to honor my mom when I was 18. Came from Flint, Michigan. My mom made $18,000 a year, and I knew I wanted to make a difference. I thought it was in baseball. I was a big baseball guy, had Division I offers, and I also loved music. But February 3rd in 1994, my grandfather died of throat cancer, and that's when I realized I wanted to make a difference in medicine or healthcare industry. I picked dentistry because my dad wasn't around. I wanted to live more of a 9-to-5 job and try to be home with my family. My wife now, my girlfriend at the time, said she was a nurse. She said, "Are you sure you want to be married to your pager?" So I'm aging myself. I'm 51. But I said, you know what? I want to be a family man. I want to control my schedule, but I also want to be my own boss. And so I went dentistry route. Great field, but I realized there was a lot of things I needed to learn in dentistry to really become that, from a dentist to the CEO, hence the brand, the Dentist CEO. What I, my goal ultimately is how do I help young dentists or entrepreneurs really work on their business, not in their business? So that's kind of how this whole thing came about. And it started really from the pandemic in 2020, where I had this idea. I said, man, if I could shortchange people's lives and take my 21-year career and get people to master within the first 5 years, that'd be great. And I found that dental school itself teaches you how to really master the boards, but they don't teach you how to run a business. And so hence the brand Dentist CEO got started.
I've seen that a lot, actually. So a lot of our client base are young professionals, physicians, dentists, and they are incredible at what they do. Same thing, like lawyers, contractors. But then there's the whole like business side of it, like growing into an entrepreneur. So tell us about the shift from Dr. Bobby, the dentist, to Dr. Bobby, the entrepreneur and the CEO. Like, what were some of the learning curves that you had to create in order to start growing your practice on the business?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think at first I was the ego dictator versus the servant leader. And I think there's a big difference. Like, you get the doctorate degree in front of your name and you have a great accomplishment. And in your mind, you're like, I'm the doctor. And, you know, puff your chest and you act like you're the smartest guy in the room. And you think that just because you have a skill set that the team is going to follow you, right? You're going to create this business and the patients are going to just come in droves and you buy this 7-figure practice and you're going debt. And you just think, you know what? I just got to learn the skill of dentistry. And it couldn't be farthest from the truth. So my first 8 years, I was like really just surviving. Like, I literally was great at what I did, but I was realizing I couldn't get a team to respond. Like, what is going on? The community was great. I was born and raised in Flint, and that's where I practice to this day. But I was only doing, you know, $750,000 to $1 million a year. And I know it's a lot of money when you say that, but now my practice is 5 times bigger than that. And the switch was I became, how do I become less of a dictator and become more about my patients and more about my team? And so it took about 8 years. One, the first 3 years, I was just trying to master the craft of dentistry, right? How to go from a 3-hour cavity prep to increasing my speed and my processes and systems. So the first 3-5 years, to be honest with you, you're just trying to figure out how to do dentistry or run a business. And then after you figure that out and you go, okay, I'm pretty comfortable with my routine and how I do it, it's really, how do you get the team to lead? And it wasn't until really 8 years into this when I started investing into my team of their development that I truly feel I became the entrepreneur / CEO. Because, you know what I mean? Like, I'm the leader. And it's like John Maxwell says, you're the law of the lid. They'll only go as high as you can go as a leader. And if you can't lead them and show them that you're for them, you're never going to get them to do anything. And you're going to get the, you know, bare minimum out of them. So that was my switch when I figured that out. And I started really learning about leadership and becoming not working in the practice so much and taking some time off, actually delegating responsibilities and trusting other people to lead with my vision. That's when it switched from.
That's incredible. And I like the way that you summarize that. A lot of times I'm thinking through this, excuse me, and people don't understand how important personal development is to business, right? It's very tough when you're first growing in the business and in the chaos of it to try and say, hey, my personal development is a direct reflection of how much money I'm going to make. But the way that you categorize it there is exactly that, because brute force can only take you so far. Leverage is what creates more margin, which leverage is built by your team. And in order for you to have a great team, you need to be an effective leader. Help us, like, so you had talked about the transformation into learning how to become a better leader. What were some of the specific minutiae of things that you had to do to become a better leader?
So look, I'm a firm believer, you learn from other people that have been there, right? So like the minute you let your ego go, I mean, I feel like we have three gatekeepers. We're going to laugh when people say this. And the gatekeepers are designed to keep you safe: fear, judgment, and ego. And those are the only three things if you think about it. Your ego says, oh, look at me, look at me, look at me. But you're too afraid sometimes to spend money or invest in teams, especially when money's tight, out of fear. You're a fear of loss, right? And then you worry about what people think. If I go this way, what will they think? So there's your three gatekeepers. But what I started doing, I started studying other leaders outside of dentistry, not in dentistry, like truly, who are the best leaders that I envisioned in my mind? And can I implement them, like, or be like them, like mimic them and mirror them? And so, you know, I had to become the old me had to die. So I said, okay, all right, what do I know? I'm either going to go this route and I'm never going to grow, or I'm just going to start changing how I do things every single day. It was as basic as this. Instead of me wearing scrubs to work, I started putting a suit and tie on, right? Like something that basic. Like if I was going to give you like, what are little nuances you can start changing every day to become a different version of yourself? Study what you like, study who you want to be like, be humble enough to learn from them, and just start executing that every day. I'm a baseball guy, right? I talked about this. If you just stack singles on top of singles on top of singles and just advance the runners or advance every day, you will become that version. So I started to say, who am I today? So think of yourself as the character of the story. Who am I today? What are my behaviors? What are my traits? What are my characteristics? And who do I have to become? And then I started working on that every single day. I wasn't teaching anybody else yet. I was teaching myself. This is who you have to be. And then any book I read, I got, oh my God, I probably have 300 books right here. Any book I read when I ran my morning huddles, I was teaching them the same thing I was trying to learn at the same time. So I was developing them. And then when I was investing $10,000 for my personal growth, I would then turn invest $10,000 in theirs. I mean, this was not some cheap investment. People, like, I was making $150,000 a year in dentistry, which is not even, it's the average. And now it's superseded that. But I invested $180,000 in their growth. Let me say that again. I invested more in their growth than what I was making. Right? And that's how it starts. But it starts by just you changing who you need to kill. I know that sounds really morbid, but it's the truth. What version of yourself has to die to become a different version, and learn from that and start doing those habits daily?
I like that a lot. That's so wise. There's a question that I put on my whiteboard every day that I ask myself is, are my habits a reflection of who I want to become? And so if I can find out who I want to become and reverse engineer that down to what are the specific things I need to do on a day-to-day basis, all I have to do is execute and then bring intention to that execution. Thank you for that. Now, on the tactical side, you know, we started to work out the mindset now, but from a tactical standpoint, when we're first starting to buy back our time in dentistry, I'm thinking like, how do I make money if I'm not on appointments, right? Because I need to stack the calendar. But at the same time, if all I do is work, there's a quote from Henry Ford, he who works all day has no time to make money, specific to the entrepreneur. How are you able to create leverage and scale in your practice?
So that's a great question. So what I started doing first, because I couldn't leverage my time first, I started hiring people in positions that were more qualified than the position. And you're like, what did you just say? So my front desk people were never just an office manager or just somebody that answers the phone. They were somebody that had a different skill set. So when I wanted to grow the hygiene department per se, I got creative. I built my, first of all, if people that need to grow a business, you got to look at a few things. You got to look at human capital. You got to look at space of equipment, and you also got to look at your marketing. But so first of all, if we're talking to a dental office scenario, because you asked me a dental question, I looked at my building first and foremost and said, am I in a building where it can grow? Meaning, am I in a place where if I start growing and scaling, do I have the processes, the systems, and the opportunities to manage that growth? If the answer is yes, okay, check. Then what I did is I started, I had a hygienist who actually said she wanted a job. Well, I knew I didn't have a position in hygiene yet because I didn't grow it yet. But what I did is I said, look it, Let me train you to be work on my front desk. You're going to learn the back ways of doing dentistry, how to pick up the phone, how to answer. I'm going to cross train you. But any new patient that calls, if you can get them to say yes, you then now flip to my hygiene chair and you start producing revenue. So I started building my hygiene team first. And the reason why is for every about 500 to 750 new patients you get in a dental office, you can now start adding another hygienist, right? That's what you got to look at. That's like the number. So if I build my hygiene first, and now it was to the point where I couldn't see them anymore, I knew once I got that successful, I can now leverage myself and start hiring associates to now ready, take my time. And now I step back and I just do what I love. Now, if you don't have that capability, another thing you could do is how can you improve your time management efficiency, your skill set to become faster at certain things? And or how do you add specialty services in your practice to minimize the amount of patients you have to see? So there's the many different variables that we could coach on this forever, but those are some examples, right?
Yeah, no, that's incredible. So as you've created more stabilization and more what I like to call enterprise value, where you're, I don't know the exact situation, but it sounds like you've been able to replace yourself enough to where you're borderline irrelevant inside of the company, which is great. With that, what have you done with that time? I know there's a bunch of different entrepreneurial ventures. Like what's your day-to-day looking like now when it comes to managing the portfolio?
Oh man. So I'm always like, Fridays are always my, like I say they're my day off, but I laugh at you. Like I have days of the week now and hours in the day where it's nothing but my other businesses where I focus on. But I talked about Great Lakes Dental Design, Inc., right? I never in that. I own a dental lab, but I'm never there. That's beautiful, right? I talk to them on the phone. Here's our P&Ls. Here's our balance sheets. I'm good. I spend more time with my friends and my family now than I ever have in my life. But at the same time, I still have my dental hours, but I'm now looking to build portfolios. I'm buying practices. I'm acquiring other things. So my time is more spent on how to really grow and scale my portfolio than it is working in the chair. And so I spend a lot of time on Zoom calls and meetings, but I still do my day-to-day dentistry, right? I still do my day-to-day. But I get to do things now, Antonio, to be honest with you, things I truly love and I'm really passionate about. And I also get to help and coach, still mentor kids and people like that. So and I'm not short of time. My wife laughs at me. She goes, "You're always doing something." While other people are watching Netflix, I'm just doing something else to grow my business. That's it. Mm-hmm. So like, do you miss time with your wife? Absolutely not. My wife is my queen. Do you ever miss time with your kids? Absolutely not. But here's the difference. Quality time is more important than the amount of quantity of time. So I just make sure I calendar out myself. I have books everywhere. You can't see it, but I have journals upon journals of time management things. And I block out times that this is my time. That's all it is. I'm not on my cell phone. I'm not doing anything. This is my dedicated time. And so I give people quality time versus quantity. And I give every business quality versus quantity. And that's when it works. You know, if you're not focused on the task you're doing, you're never going to be successful. So mm-hmm. if you can be like somebody always told me one time, be where your feet are. And I think most people just can't do that. If you don't need a lot of time. Commitment doesn't know time. It makes time. That's another phrase I'll give you. If you can just be where your feet are and truly focus on 15 to 20, 30 minutes, you can get a lot more done. I think there was a guy, and I can't remember his name. He does Ridiculousness, the whole show on MTV.
Oh, Rob Dyrdek? Oh, he's like a genius.
He's the best systematic approach guy in the world. He does 344 episodes in like this much time, and he's worth $400 million. Well, goes back to what I tell you. I learned from other people outside of my industry. What are they doing? You just got to become systematized. And every minute counts. Every time counts. If you utilize that time, you'd be shocked at what you can get done in an hour that might take some people 8 hours. So that's what I
listen to that again, guys. Pause that. Go back. Tim Grover said it really well. Manage your focus, not your time. Yeah. Because the second that you block out a certain amount of hours, put the phone in the other room and actually lock in, you're getting way more done than you know, what you could do in 12 hours. It's incredible. It looks like you're focusing a lot on brand, hopping on all these podcasts, and I see all the brand going on. Help me understand what that pivot was. I see a lot of people shifting towards brand where it's tough because brand doesn't create an immediate ROI. Like for example, in the dental practice, I could run ads and immediately get clients and that's quantifiable. Brand is a long-term play. But as someone who's a growing entrepreneur, always looking for new deals, building a private equity portfolio, a venture capital portfolio, how important is that and how are you going about investing into it?
Well, man, like I invest in everything I do is 100%, right? So if you told me how much do you spend in your brand, I mean, dude, I spend a lot. I'm not going to put that on air, but a lot. Let's just say I spend a lot. But the difference is this, is what do you want to be known as in life, right? Like you got, I want people to realize this. No, everything you do, people are watching, whether it's your wife, whether it's your kids, whether it's your relatives, whether it's your cousins, whether it's people on the streets, they're watching you. And if I say I'm something, if I say this is who I am, then everything I do has to show up that way. My brand has to show up that way. And the reason why the Dentist Seal, why I'm pushing that so much now and why I'm on podcast is because truly dentistry is going to demise. Entrepreneurs and health industry is going to be ran by corporate America. And there's a lot of things that are just going to be on the wayside that people got to understand the game. If I can teach my nephew's in dental school right now, my daughter eventually wants to go to dental school. So who am I 21 years doing this? Having all this knowledge in this field, would I really be living my calling or leaving any legacy of what I do if I don't train other people to become a better version of myself? I'm no different than anybody else. People that bungle information, Antonio, that have all this information and this insight that A, don't think their voice should be heard, or they're too insecure to say what they know, or are just want to keep it to themselves, man, that's ridiculous. Pigs at the end of the day always get slaughtered. And I say this to everybody, it doesn't matter what you are temporarily. Who are you as a human? Who are you as a person? And what is your true legacy? Money is not your legacy. Money is not your legacy. Your brand, what you represent, what you stand for, what you put your flag in, that's your legacy. And that's why I push so hard. That's what I want to do.
So with that, what it sounds like you are a huge visionary and you're constantly, I can just imagine the amount of notes that you've been taking in your journal around what that vision looks like. So articulate to me what Bobby Grassi's doing in 20 years. Like what does your life look like?
Well, hopefully in 20 years, man, I got other people that are really, really successful and I helped them launch all their careers. But no, I 20 years, man, I'll be 71 years old. I'll be watching my grandkids playing with financial freedom, buddy. Sitting here looking at all these practices that I might have acquired and built. My portfolio being nice. Got great real estate portfolio. But I'm financially free and all my kids underneath me, all my friends and family are financially free. And when I die, if I ever die, I'll have standing room at my funeral saying, this guy made the greatest impact in my life. And if I accomplish all that, bro, yeah, that'd be pretty cool. And, you know, my podcast is called Relentlessly Committed for a reason. I'm just relentlessly committed to being the best version of myself every single day. And that's probably my biggest brand. If you said to me, what is Bobby Grassi? Bobby Grassi that will find a way no matter what to make something happen. And I don't need anybody to be my savior, but I want to be somebody's voice, a reason, and help them get to places where other people have helped me get to. And I think if I do that, I'm successful.
Sure. This podcast is called the Consistency Wins Podcast. So, I mean, you are a perfect fit for the mold of people that come on there. What does that word mean to you? So I know you said relentlessly committed. So that to me, that sounds consistency is everything.
100%.
Talk to us about what that word means to you and how that shows up in you, your team, everyone that you're
the word consistency?
Around. Yes, sir.
It's no different than what I told you of hitting a single. So I'm going to go back to like consistency, like doing something every single day that's going to better you towards your goal. Like, okay, if you can answer this question, am I closer to or am I further away, right? Like there's the finish line. You have this finish line. What can I do consistently every single day to create that habit every single day that's going to get me to my finish line of where I'm trying to go, right? That's consistency. You show up every single day with the best version of yourself. Now, look at dude, Antonio, it's never going to happen. You're going to be 50% some days. I'm not going to sit here and bowl smoke up anybody's ass. Like it is what it is. I'm not always on cloud nine firing up, but you show up anyway. I haven't missed a day of work in 21 years in dentistry. That's factual. I've never called in sick. Have I gotten sick? Of course. Have I felt 100%? No. But do I show up anyway? Yes. You have to show up. That's consistency. Do you show up with the same energy at home as you do at work? Are you the same person at home to your wife or your kids or your husband as you are at work? That's consistency, right? You know, if you're the same version in body, being, balance, and business, say what you want. And you show up every single day, most of the days, not every day, 99.9% of the time consistently, you will win this game of life. It's the people that choose not to show up. That's it. Being consistent on working on great habits every single day, you will always win, period. Consistency wins. That's why I love your podcast. A great awesome. Name. I should have spelled the name. That's a great name.
Yeah, well, it's on my forearm now too. I don't know if you can
see
it.
Yeah, it's amazing.
We got the trademark pending as well.
Consistency wins.
That's awesome, man. Cool. So I would love to get a little bit more tactical as well. The nerdy side of my brain is coming out as well, because you had mentioned that you're buying a lot of practices and things. What are you looking for in a practice when you're acquiring one? Like, help me understand from the lens of a growing dental practice owner that might be wanting to build something to get acquired by a Bobby Grassi. Help me understand how I need to build my business in such a way to where it is attractive for someone like you to buy it.
Yeah, so that's a great question. First of all, I mean, nowadays, if you're not in the seven-figure range, it's going to be hard to get max value. So obviously, let's say you're at $500,000 a year. First question I say is, how do I get to the seven-figure mark, right? The 1 million at least.
Sure.
But number of operatories is huge. Like, so it goes back to what I told you about, can you scale the practice? Like, if I bought this real estate property or whatever it is, and let's say the practice is doing $2 million. Let's just make up a number for this podcast because we can go really nerdy, right? And let's say that there's 10 operatories. Well, in theory, that practice could do about $3.5 million, because you get about $35,000 to $65,000 per operatory, that each operatory should be functioning as a dental office. So I'm already looking at, what is the growth possibility? Secondly, is what is the age of the average patient? Thirdly, what is the how much staff members do they have, and how much is each staff generating, right? So like somebody like Brandon Dawson or the Grant Cardones, they'll look at, if you have $250,000 per employee, this is what you should be generating in successful businesses. Because let's be honest, 97% of small businesses fail after 10 years. So do they have, what track record do they have? And if that is the case, how many new patients are they getting? And how much are they spending in marketing versus internal? Like, those are the few things, like in a quick blink of an eye, that's how I can get a great pulse. How much production are they doing a month? What are their overall expenses? And what is their bottom line profit margin? But let's say you wanted to sell to an MSO or DSO and something like that. They're going to be looking at really what your EBITDA. So if you have a practice that's doing, if you're netting, simple math, $250,000 a year in EBITDA, you could get a return of $1.2 to maybe $1.5 million on that, right? They're going to give you a 4 to at least 6x multiple somewhere in there, okay? But so obviously, the greater you can create your EBITDA, the more value you have in your practice. But those are the little things, your lab bills, vendor supplies. I mean, I could go on and on. But if I was going to hone in, I'm a young dentist. I'm 25 years old. And you'd probably get out of dental school. I rephrase that at about 26. Okay, so I'm 26 years old. I'm just starting to own my practice. I would be looking at space and equipment. Do I have a big enough building? Because what they do is they get caught up, oh my God, this practice is doing $1 million a year and it's got 4 operatories. And okay, that's great. Except now, how are you going to ever grow that space? You can't. So I'd always be looking, what do they say in the Field of Dreams? If you build it, they will come. Mm-hmm. Build it. Build what your vision is. Just build it. And I promise you, you'll fill it. It's when you can't build it is when you get in trouble. So those would be the few things I look for.
That's great. Yeah, I think a lot of people don't reinvest in scale before they grow, and then they hit this massive momentum, and then they hit a cap because they can't fulfill on all of it at all. And now it's like, we took on all these patients and everyone's flying in through the door, but now I don't have a way to get them on the schedule for 2 months because I have no space. And now you end up losing goodwill in the marketplace. So that's the risk that comes with entrepreneurship. You have to believe it and actually invest in it before something actually comes to fruition. And I think you brought up a really good nuance as well, because as important it is to get to that seven-figure plus top-line revenue, ultimately you sell on a multiple of your bottom line. So correct. This is something that growing business owners don't truly grasp early on, because they're just trying to get sales through the door. But the more that you can clean up that P&L and make it look clean and actually show them that you're making a profit, which means, sorry to say it, you're probably not going to be able to run personal expenses through this business if you actually want to sell it. We need to keep it clean.
Yes.
So how also important is it for the entrepreneur themselves, the person that you're buying out, to be potentially scaled out of the practice? Like, are you ever buying it with them and potentially negotiating some type of earnout or anything like that? Walk me through some of those deals.
So, I mean, there's a lot of ways you can do it. Like, there's some people that just, they want to sell and they want to be done. Okay. So you're like, okay, you're done. But, you know, sometimes you like to, I don't want to say buy their time, but you kind of do, hey, look at, dude, I'm doing this to build my portfolio. You know, would you be willing to stick around for a year or 2 years to get the slow transition so we get in there? Most of the time they say yes, right? They want to sell the practice because they don't want to do the managerial stuff anymore, running a staff, doing their marketing, but they still love dentistry. Perfect scenario. Another scenario, though, you can do is you can develop partnerships. So like, okay, you reinvest. So let's say hypothetical, I buy your practice for $2 million. And I want you to be a part of it. Cool. You want to be a partner with my other deals. Okay, cool. So what you can do is you can leave some money in the kitty. Let's say we leave $250,000. Your money now earns some interest on that. And now if we sell, let's say we sell to another company, and let's say I have a $10 million EBITDA and we sell for $50 million, whatever we're saying, you're going to get a big kickback of that depending on how many shares you have in the company, right? So it's all the same thing. But the biggest thing I would tell people in many years is make sure if you sell, even if it was to somebody like me, make sure you understand that you're now a W-2 employee. And I'm going to say this, and this might work against me, Antonio, but just this, I have to say this. You need to know the tax implications when you sell. Like, you need to know the business side of it. Here comes the CEO brain of me, the nerd of me, saying you will no longer be able to just pay 26% in taxes. You're going to probably pay 46 to 50% in taxes unless you can create another business, right? This is where if you surround yourself with someone like me who actually, I always said to you earlier, a pig gets slaughtered, that wants success for everybody, you can structure it in a way where you're kind of protected from a tax liability too. So that's sure. A little nerdy brain of yours.
No, that's perfectly in alignment, because I've had those scenarios pop up where specifically in the dental space, I've had a couple of clients sell their practices and they don't understand the full complications that come along with it. And so instead of negotiating potentially a stock sale, they negotiate an asset sale, give the entire tax value to the purchaser. They're on the hook for $700,000 worth of tax. But they start taking on expenses now, not realizing that next April they owe that $700,000.
Yep.
And they're an employee. So now they're just waiting for checks to get cut, and there's non-competes and all these different things. So that's a huge part of why I think it's important as you're growing to align with someone like Bobby, because Bobby's not just a coach from what I'm seeing. There's a difference between a coach and a mentor. There's coaches out there that are going to be there to hold you accountable, but haven't actually been where you want to be. A guy like Bobby is someone who's still doing exactly what he's telling you to do. That's the huge piece and why I'm like so encapsulated by what you're doing, because there's this big like coaching and mentorship economy that's going on. I think it's a bubble that's going on, especially like on Instagram and social media. But you still own a practice. You still own multiple practices. You're on the VC PE side as well, building real estate portfolios. It's just so cool to see, and I'm really excited to. I'm already thinking through people to start introducing you to in that world, because I think it's a needed service.
Yeah, because I mean, I consider myself more like, I guess that I'm a coach, but I'm an advisor, right? Like, I'm just going to advise you just like I would. But I love about why I'm so passionate. It's so funny, Antonio. There was a moment about 5 years in my, 5 years ago, I was burned out of dentistry. We've all been there, burned out of my business. Like, I'm just burned out. And I'm like, what am I going to do? And this is when I realized that my calling is to, I love it now. Like, now I'm fired up again because now I got this bigger purpose. But really, to be honest with you, I want people to thrive, dude. I want, if you want to sell, cool. I'll help you sell, and I'm going to set you up for success, and I'll buy your practice, or we can partner up and do whatever. But if you just want to be the best version of yourself in dentistry and live in the life that I've actually been able to create, let me show you what I've done. And that's what's cool. And it's amazing, man. It's amazing. But thank you for those kind words too.
Of course, man. It's really cool because you've used dentistry as a vehicle under the umbrella of entrepreneurship. And that's what I think is really amazing about entrepreneurship as a whole, is like, it's less about the actual vehicle and more about the freedom that it creates and the collaborative effort that it creates. And I love the fact that you don't really see things as competition, because everything's collaborative, which means that you're not you don't put money above you, which is the most important thing. And what you had explained earlier about like, are my actions in alignment at home and with my family and my health? I think that's true wealth. I think that's like the actual encapsulation of what wealth means. And I think people just think money and how much financial freedom you have equals wealth. But all of those facets are important in your life and all those pillars. What would you want to leave our guests with to summarize? Help us understand for someone who's a growing entrepreneur that is maybe stalling out, doesn't know where to go, doesn't maybe see the vision. Help us.
I would want them to go back to ask the question that sounds cliche, but what is your true why? Like, before you got into your business, before you got into anything, right? Most people that are entrepreneurs go, I just want to be my own boss. Well, that's not going to work well, because guess what? You're going to fail really fast. Because if you just want to be your own boss, I go back to 97% of all small businesses fail after 10 years. Congratulations, you're going to fail. And the average income is about $70,000 to anybody that owns a small business. So let's, what's your why? And so when you show up every day and you're, I'm going to use your consistency wins name, because this is the podcast I'm on. And I love that, by the way, and I'm relentlessly committed. But
thank you.
What is your, if your why is to become rich, you're going to fail. If your why is only to make money, you're going to fail, because you will no longer be a servant to anybody. You'll be a servant to money, and money should not master you. Money is a vehicle to help you. It is not to master you. You're worshiping the wrong thing. When you do good, money comes. When you live life the way it should be, money will come. I've never done dentistry. I've never shortchanged myself. There's a word of authenticity, and there's people hear law of attraction. And when you become authentic to who you are and the people know who you are, and you become authentic to your word and you let everybody a little bit in, that's when everything comes in. I'm talking about true wealth. I'm talking about happiness at home. You're being honest. I'm talking about physical happiness with your clarity. You get clear with the who you are, spirituality. If you don't believe, that's fine. But if you do believe, you're very clear about that. And what is it that I use money as a vehicle to serve? There's a difference. Money is a vehicle, a tool to help you get to another destination. That's it. Coming from a guy who didn't have money, I told you my mom made $18,000 a year. Of course, early on in my career, the first thing I was thinking of is money, 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 money. Why? Because I'm $750,000 in debt of student loans. They brainwashed you to think of that's the thing. The problem is, it wasn't until I was willing to let go of that money came back. So True entrepreneurship is having a vision, having a dream, and letting go in true faith that if I do things the right way, it's going to come back. So even if you had $1 million, $2 million, $3 million, $250 million, that means nothing if you live life alone. That means nothing if you don't have somebody to go home to share it with. That means nothing if nobody you have in your corner to truly support you and love you. It can be taken away of a blink of an eye. So make sure you know your why. Make sure you go after your why every single day consistently. And even when you don't want to get your ass up, remind yourself of the why and do it anyway.
Amen to that. That's a mic drop right there. Bobby, this has been great. I mean, I can't believe we just did 32 minutes. I feel like it's a flash in the pan. That was amazing. Thank you so much. I'm really excited to continue following your journey and connecting some people into our ecosystems. Amazing podcast. Thank you for pouring your heart into us.
Thanks, Antonio. Love you, man. Thank you.
Appreciate it.